Well, I read a story recently about this immigrant lady who had moved to North America, and she didn't speak any English at the time, so she had to learn just by imitating other people. And it became clear that after a few weeks, people were confused about her name because she kept introducing herself as Busy. She would say, "Hi, how are you? I'm Busy. Nice to meet you." I guess she just picked up on that, you know, from people in the conversations she had, because this seems like a phrase that seems to be so reminiscent of our culture, right? I'm busy, I'm busy. It seems like something that just rolls off of our tongues, something that we say multiple times every day, probably without even thinking about it. And most of us, I think we somewhat like to say that. Sometimes after I preach one of these sermons on busyness, I'll be out in the foyer and I'll be talking to people, and someone will be starting to tell me about how busy they are, and then they'll kind of catch themselves. And you can see when this happens, and they realize what they're doing, and their language changes right away. And they start saying, you know what, there's just so many opportunities in my life these days. You know, seems like I don't have any time, so there's just so many opportunities. And I know what they're saying. They're trying not to say, "I'm busy," right? In fact, I had a pastor friend who was also doing some talks on busyness, and he was saying that he tried to go a whole week without saying the phrase, "I'm busy." And he said, "It's really, really hard. Try to do this." And you should try this. If you ever tried it, it's quite hard. I've been trying it recently. And I'll be honest, it is not an easy thing to say. I want to say it. And sometimes you people, you goad me into it. You know, you're baiting me. You're saying, "Oh, Keith, you know, I know that you're busy." And I was like, stop saying that. I'm not busy. They go, "I know you're busy." And I go, "No, you know what? I'm actually not busy." But there's something about that, like, bothers me to say that I'm not busy. Because I think secretly, we love to say I'm busy. I think many of us, if we had to admit, we like being busy. And our busyness is probably more about our self-inflicted tendencies than these forces around us that are making us busy, right? You see, we live in a very busy culture, right? It's difficult to say that I'm not busy. But we got to deal with it, we got to look at it. If you haven't been here with us for the past few weeks, we've been talking about busyness. And we've been talking about how busyness is both a far more serious and a far less serious issue than many of us believe. It's a far more serious issue because really busyness is just a symptomatic expression of deeper things, deeper problems in our lives, right? And so in this way, seriousness is not really that serious because it's not really the problem. And trying to deal with your busyness by trying to manage your time better or trying to manage your schedule better, that's not going to fix anything. Right? There's a deeper issue, a more important issue that is behind what's making you busy. That's the big thing. And so, in a sense, busyness is not that serious. In a sense, it is very serious because it's the number one reason that we have for why we're not growing with God. Right? It's the number one reason we have why we're not sharing our faith and sharing it with other people. And so, if you think about it, it is serious because it has eternal ramifications. It is doing something in our lives that has eternal consequences. So it's both very serious and at the same time, very not serious. In our last sermon, we talked about some of the rootedness of our sins. What is behind the surface level manifestation of our busyness? And we looked at this and we looked at one of them, which was a lack of trust in God. That at its root, it has to do with that, with not trusting God as much as we should. And today we're going to be looking at the sin of pride, and how that also contributes to our busyness. And really, these two things are very similar. They're like two sides to the same coin. Because not trusting in God is not being as focused on God as you should be. And pride really is being too focused on yourself, or more focused on yourself than you should be. And so let's look at pride for a little bit. Pride is a very complex issue. And it is a root issue. It's a root issue of a lot of things. And there's a lot of different ways that people may try to describe pride or define it. However, I think most of us can agree that at its core, pride is essentially about selfishness, right? It's about self-centeredness or excessive self-love. And if this is the heart of pride, then really it's about loving yourself too much and not loving other people and God as much as you should. But the Bible is very clear that we're supposed to love God and love others. And I think intrinsically we even know that, right? We know that some of the worst people in the world that we know, it's because they're the most selfish people we know. And some of the greatest people we know in the world, we would call them saints. It's because they're not very selfish. They're selfless, right? We need to love God. We need to love others more. It's what He commands. And this is actually what's known as the greatest commandment in the Bible. Because Jesus was actually asked once, what is the greatest commandment? And He gave this response. So someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." My friends, this is the word of God for you. The first time, my friends, that sin ever entered the world, it was the sin of pride, right? The Bible alludes many times to the fact that the devil was originally an angel. It wasn't just any angel, he was an angel above all the rest. But he wanted to be above God. He wanted to ascend to a place above God because he was proud. And because of the sin of pride, God cast him down to this earth. And as a serpent, he came to the Garden of Eden, as we know, and he tempted mankind with the same sin that he had just committed. He said, "Eat of this forbidden tree and you will be like God." Right? And that's what we did. It was the original sin. And from this sin, all other sin flows. It's the core of our unrighteousness. Therefore, when it comes to busyness, there's a lot of sins that may cause that, and it may be unique to each and every one of us, but at the root of it, I think, the lowest common denominator, it has to be pride, our sin of self-love. Now, to help us see this in our own lives, I want to give some examples of how the sin of pride may manifest itself in our lives, in our particular bent towards busyness, and I'm going to use examples that start with P. Okay, because it's what's called alliteration, where each word starts with the same sound, and so you can remember it. So P, you know, pride, because pride stands with the... Anyways, you get what I'm saying. So, first one I want to look at people-pleasing, okay? One reason many of us are busy is because we're people-pleasing. Now, that's actually two P's, right? So, that's double points. So, whoever's keeping score... I'm ahead right now. I'm winning. I'm not sure what game we're playing, but I'm winning this P game anyway. So people pleasing, let's talk a little bit about that. People pleasing, it's all about saying yes, right? And most of us are busy because we're just saying yes to too many things. We're saying yes to everything, right? Because we're people pleasing, right? We can't say no because we're afraid that if we say no, that people might not like us. Right? Or would upset someone. And this is very important because realize it is possible to be busy doing things out of a love for God and others. Right? But sometimes you do things just because you need that love. You need to know that they love you or like you. And so sometimes you just become known as like this person that always says yes to everything. Oh, Keith, yeah, he's that guy that, you know, he would give you the shirt off his back. You know, he's like a yes man, right? And so now I've created some kind of a foundational identity, some like persona. That's another P. It's irrelevant. Some kind of persona or something that I have a sense of self-worth in now. You know, I find the sense of self-justification that I am this person that always says yes and that helps other people and that is seen as a nice guy or something. But when it comes down to it, you need to ask yourself, am I saying yes because I love these people or because I need their love? You know, who is it really about? Is it about them or is it about me and what I get from them, what I need from them in return? Now, another prideful reason that we stay busy, and this one's really deceptive, it's pity. Okay? It's pity, self-pity. Self-pity is definitely a form of pride. It's a sneaky form of pride, but it's a form of pride because at its core, you're focusing on yourself, right? Woe is me. You know, I'm the victim. I've never done anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong. It's just that the world or other people or whatever, they're taking advantage of me, or these things always happen to me. It's just not fair, right? It's the self-pity. And so you get in this mode. But if you love God more, you'd realize that there's so much more you have to be thankful for. It's not that you're so undeserving. My friends, if you got everything that you deserved from God, you wouldn't exist right now. He would just kill you, right? You should be thankful every moment that you're alive. There's so much more to be thankful for than to take pity on yourself for. And if you really loved others, you wouldn't be making them feel bad all the time for you, right? No one wants to hear someone go on and on and on about their problems. Or, let's clarify, no one wants to hear, let's get personal, you go on and on and on about your problems. I know, because I just came out of a season of my life where I had a lot of problems. And I could see it just wore on people. People didn't even want to ask me, how are you doing? Because they know that I wasn't doing good. And I would just tell them, like, life sucks, I'm not doing good. And people don't want to hear this, my friends, right? But sometimes we make ourselves busy with this self-pity because we love to be busy. So we're trying to be busy all the time, or we make ourselves busy, and it's never our fault, and we're too busy, and we want everyone to know just how busy we are. And I'm just this victim, and I do all these things, and I want you to know that I'm here for you, but I'm extremely busy, and I made all these sacrifices to be here, and I want you to know that. You know, I want you to feel sorry for me. And you ever see this when people get in, like, these busy wars? You ever see these where, like, two people are talking, and one's like, oh man, I had such a crazy week, like, you wouldn't believe it. I had like this. The other person goes, that's nothing, listen to my week. And then they go, yeah, I know, but then, you know, I have kids too, and my free time, and they're like this. And they're trying to top each other with who's busier, and it's like this proud, busy bragging going on. It's like, what's happening here, right? And really, it's not about your love for God or others, it's about your self-love. Now, a final prideful reason I want to look at, a final reason that's motivated out of pride, but what keeps us very busy, is perfectionism. Now, I want to talk about this because it comes to my mind all the time because it's something I struggle with. In fact, someone said to me just a week ago, they said, this person doesn't even know me very well. They said, you're a perfectionist, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I am, right? And then we talked a little bit about that. But perfectionism, for me, it has to do with the fact that I just don't want to make mistakes. I can't stand to make mistakes because I don't want anyone to ever be able to say, hey, you messed up. Or we'll say, oh, you should have done this, or you could have done that. And who knows all the reasons why I'm like that. I just am. I struggle with that, right? And so I can say all I want that I'm doing these things. I'm very busy working hard because I want to do my best for Jesus. I want to do my best for other people. I want to give you the best, Keith. But really, if I had to be honest, a lot of times it's just about me not wanting to make any mistakes and wanting to be more perfect. And I'm putting a pressure on myself to do more than God ever expects of me or that other people expect of me. And sometimes I'll go so far to make sure something is really nice and I'll make a few little mistakes no matter how hard I try to, you know, get those wrinkles out. And I'll ask people about it because it's bothering me. And other people won't even have noticed. They'd be like, oh, I didn't even notice that mistake was made or that this was wrong. I'm like, really, you didn't notice? Because I noticed and it was bothering me. I'm going way above anyone's expectations or what is required of me to make things more perfect than they need to be. And this is making me very busy, right? In fact, just 2 days ago, two nights ago, I was putting together IKEA furniture. And it was like a wardrobe. And the wardrobe, I got to tell you about this wardrobe. Let's strap yourself in. He's going off script here. It has these two doors, of course, and there's like all these different ways that you can adjust them, right, to make sure that they close and open right. So I put it together my first try, and it was pretty good, right? The doors opened and closed without an issue. But when they closed, there was a gap, like this big. I asked Lacey about it, of course. She's like, oh, that's fine. I looked at it. and that's bothering me, right? And I said, I can get that gap smaller till it's like there. I know, so they're almost touching. And that would be perfect if I could do that. And I thought about what it was going to require of me. I knew I would have to get Lacey up, and she would have to come and help me with the door and take the door off the hinges, and I would have to take all three hinges off and move them to the other notch, and then I have to put it back on and make a few more adjustments. I could tell this was going to be at least like another hour-long project. The thing only took me about an hour to put together, and it was getting late and wanted to go to bed and relax a little bit. And I knew that if I did this, it was going to have me up, and I was going to get to bed late, and I was going to be tired. I thought to myself, am I making myself too busy out of perfectionism, right? And who is this really bothering, right? Can you guess what I did? Should I ask you? No, I let it go. I let it go, my friends. And you tell me if you come over to my house, if you notice this, because it seems to me like too big of a gap to live with. But you walk up the stairs and it looks you right in the face. But anyways, I got to let these things go, right? Because it's unnecessarily making me busy. So here's just, those are just three short examples, okay, of how our pride manifests itself in our busyness. There's dozens, I could give dozens more very easily, right? And it's going to look a little different for everyone. But here's just a few kind of little examples. You got to discover for yourself through introspection and through the help of God what it is and how it's manifesting itself. But ultimately, dealing with the pride will help you to deal with those things. And I want us to look at the fact that any of these things that I mentioned, just like anything in your life, it could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on where it's coming from and what your motivation is. For example, people-pleasing. That could be you just genuinely wanting to help other people. You know, you just have compassion, you just want to help them. Pity could simply be that you have a genuine sorrow that you can't do more for others, right, or for God. And perfectionism, that could be a genuine desire for you just wanting to do your best for God and others, right? These can all be good things. How do you know if it's a good thing or bad thing? How do you know if it's a righteous thing or unrighteous thing? This is the question you need to ask yourself. Who am I doing this for? Who am I doing this for? Are you doing it for yourself, or are you doing it for God and for others? Because if I'm doing it out of a genuine love for God and others, then it's a righteous thing. But if I'm doing it mostly out of a love for myself, then it's probably an unrighteous thing, right? And it's never black and white with these things, right? I mean, our busyness, like with anything in life, it's gray, right? And it's always going to be probably a little bit of both, but you need to discover what that is. And here's the test to be able to tell. Here's like the litmus test to tell if it's righteous or if it's sinful. If it's a righteous thing, if it's coming from a good place of mostly service to God and others, then it probably won't make you feel burdened and busy. But if it's coming from a selfish place to serve you, it probably will make you feel burdened and busy. And you might be saying to yourself, well, listen, Keith, like, you don't know. You don't know my life. It's crazy, right? You can't resonate with this. You don't know my busyness. Well, listen, you think you're busy? Jesus was busier, okay? It says many times in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus often was so busy with people demanding him and crowding around him, wanting his attention, and had, with all these expectations, that he couldn't eat. Have you ever been that busy? That you were surrounded by so many people demanding you that you couldn't even eat. Have you ever been that busy? Because that's how busy Jesus was. Yet Jesus was never busy, because Jesus never sinned. He always was doing exactly what he knew he needed to do. He never felt busy or overburdened. He never sinned. He always knew exactly what the Father wanted. In fact, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He always was in tune with God's will and only did that which God wanted him to do, and nothing more and nothing less. So here's an example. Let's say your schedule is packed, like it's already packed, right? And someone comes up to you and they ask you if you want to coach your younger daughter's soccer team. Okay, so what do? You say yes, do you say no? Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Well, it really depends on where it's coming from. So ask yourself, who am I doing this for? If I say yes, why am I saying yes? Am I saying yes because I want to be able to look like this good parent, like this involved parent that I've built my identity around, and I've told everyone I'm this great, good, involved parent, and so to not do this would be to go against that and say I'm some kind of hypocrite, or would be to lose my sense of self-worth that I've built around this identity that I have? Or would I be doing it because I just want to say yes? I'm a people pleaser. You know, I don't want to disappoint this person. They put me in this position. Why am I doing it? Am I doing it so that I can tell others I'm doing this really good thing? You know, and I can bring it up organically in conversations and let everybody know. Why are you doing this? Right? Or are you doing it simply because you want to spend more time with your daughter? Or you feel that God is calling you to do this, to coach the soccer team and to be a godly influence in the lives of those children on that team. You know, the degree to which you do this for yourself, it will make you feel burdened and busy. And to the degree which you do this for others and God, then you will feel fulfilled. It will be meaningful work for you, my friends. And of course, it's going to be a little bit of both. None of us, I think, could ever do a single act that wasn't at least a little bit selfishly motivated, right? And that's why, you know, Jesus did what he did, because he was God and he loved God with all of his heart and other people, and he did everything in service to them. But we can do our best, right, to get there. And getting closer there will make us feel less busy. So then what then is the cure for this ever-present busy pride that we've been talking about and that we've experienced? And that's what we want to know, right? How can we help deal with it? Well, I think the antidote for pride would have to be humility, right? Because the antidote is usually the opposite, and the opposite of pride has to be humility, right? And Jesus was the most humble person that ever walked this earth. So how do we practically then become more humble and less proud? Well, practically, I think it comes through the practical practice of confession and repentance, okay? Because nothing is more humiliating than confession. Right? Often we reel against this because it is humiliating, but to think that you can have humility without humiliation, that's a lie. Because you always have the both hand in hand. You can't be humble without having humiliation. Often we pray for humility, but we don't want to be humbled. Right? But that comes with it. And confession is this humbling act that we do. And it's repentance, because repentance in the Bible talks about doing a 180 degree turn. That's what the term means. So you're going this way and you turn around and then you go that way. It's doing the complete opposite. So it's about going and doing the humble thing over what is the proud thing. And so confession really is doing that hard work of looking at yourself, having some introspection, saying, where is the pride in my life? And admitting that the pride that I have is hurting others and it's hurting God. And then going to God and those people who it's affecting negatively and confessing it to them and saying, I know I've hurt you in these ways. And I promise that I'm going to do better. I'm going to do the opposite of what it is that I've done. And so I would say just start doing this. Just start discovering what it is, confessing it to God and others. And so go home and tell your wife and say, I'm sorry. I know that I come home and I love being busier than you and having this busy day and telling you about all the things I'm doing and how busy I am and putting that burden on you, because I like to, in a sense, judge you for not doing as much as me because I'm busier than you. And I love the pity I get from you and the affirmation. It's like I need that in my heart. And I know it makes you feel bad, it makes you feel guilty, but that's what I've been doing. And if I had to be honest, that's why I've been doing it. And so I'm terribly sorry for doing this thing in your life, and I promise I'm going to do better. I'm going to stop with my busy bragging. I'm not going to do that anymore because I love you. Okay, my friends, that's a humbling thing to do. But can you do that? That is the start, and that is how we deal with our busyness. So whatever it may be, discover those pride roots. However unpopular it may be to do that humbling thing. And when you do that, realize that it will be humiliating. You will come to a place where when you're doing this, you will probably be looking down at your feet, because that is a posture of somebody who has guilt and who is admitting and looking at their sinister sinfulness. But realize that you don't stay there, because that would be condemnation and shame, and you don't want to stay there. We do that, we come before God and others, and then we lift our eyes up to the cross. And we see Jesus on the cross, who is humiliated far beyond any humiliation that anyone has ever experienced, hanging on a cross, falsely accused, God himself up there, beaten and bruised and tortured. He's up there dying for you, for your sin of pride, to release you from it. So you look up to Jesus and realize He was humbled for me so that I could be lifted up. And Jesus lifts you up higher than you ever were when you were standing on your pedestal of pride. So, yeah, look down in humility, but don't stay there, my friends. You leave it at the foot of the cross and you let Jesus raise you higher. And then you live this higher Christian life with Him in the forgiveness that He brings, with His humility, His sacrifice for you. So you wouldn't have to stay there, my friends. That's what Jesus does for you. This is how you deal with it. And so how do we bring ourselves to do this? Realize also that God is the one that helps you in this process. You may think to yourself, I can never do that. I can never come face to face with my pride that results in busyness and harm to others. I can never do that. Well, the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus, that empowered Him to go to the cross, is the same Holy Spirit that lives in each and every follower of Jesus. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple of Him and have accepted Him into your life and for Him to be the Lord of your life, then you now have the Holy Spirit in you, His Spirit. He says, I live in you and will empower you. Now He is in you and will bring you to a place where you can be humble, you can confess, and you can be free. My friends, there's freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in the cross, and He helps you even by His Spirit to do that. So pray to God, ask Him to help you to dig up the roots that is the pride in your life that all of your busyness sprouts out of. I can remember when I was 5 years old, my granddad gave me a very special task. He said, Keith, I want you to go and kill all the dandelions in the yard. And man, I was excited when I heard that because I was a dandelion killing machine. Not to brag. Okay, I'm not about false humility here. So let's not, no false humility here. I was a dandelion killing machine. I actually had a dandelion killing stick and I said, yep, I know what to do. Ran out there, grabbed that stick, and like a graceful samurai, I cut off all the heads of all the dandelions. I came inside. Job's done. Granddad, you'll be proud of me. 3 days later, there's three times as many dandelions in the yard. And my granddad's looking out. I remember, it's one of my earliest memories. He's looking out, and he's shaking his head, and he's realizing what happens when you tell a five-year-old to go kill all the dandelions in the yard. He cuts off the heads of the dandelions, and it spreads the seeds, and it just proliferates more dandelions. So he took me out graciously into the yard. He took me down and he showed me how to kill a dandelion, and he had like a gardening tool, like a spade, and he showed how you have to dig down and you have to get the roots and you have to take it out by the roots, and that's the only way to kill it. Now, my friends, it's the same way in our lives. If we're trying to deal with busyness by just trying to manage our schedules a little bit better, we're just cutting off the heads of the dandelions. We got to get down to the roots, the pride roots, and dig them up. Then and only then will we move forward. And so I just want to pray that God would help you with that through His Holy Spirit and empower you to take those steps. So would you pray with me? Oh Lord Jesus, we look to the cross and we realize that You have more humility than anyone who's ever walked the face of this earth. And we look to it and we see it's beautiful, the cross is beautiful. And that through that You paid the sacrifice for our sin. And You also live the perfect, humble life that we can never live for us on our behalf. That one day when we stand before God the Father, He'll say, wow, You were so humble, because He only sees Jesus when He looks at us. And Lord, in this life, help us, because You want us to be humble for our own benefit, because You know the freedom that comes with living that way, with getting rid of our pride, to not have to bolster ourselves or prop ourselves up because we're so secure in You and we're humble and we're never doing more or less than we need to be doing, but just as much as You've called us to do, just like Jesus did. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We're weak. We're sinful. We're blind. But You can do this, for You have said that You would through Your Holy Spirit. So Lord, would You reveal to us, Lord, the roots of busyness in our lives. And would You give us the grace and the power to actually go after that with true confession and repentance. to change our ways and to turn towards you. We pray this knowing that you hear us, Jesus. Every time we pray, you are listening to us. We are standing before you and you're here in the room with us. And you love to do all that you can for us when we come to you with all of our needs. So we thank you for hearing us, Jesus. Let it be so. Amen.